Well, good evening and welcome to our Wednesday night service. This is Wednesday night, April the 15th. If you're wondering what today is or you forgot, today is tax day. So hopefully you got your taxes done and got those mailed in. But if you didn't, you don't have to sweat it this year, at least not right away. Evidently, there is a government extension on that. I don't know how long that goes for, but you're in good shape otherwise. On a normal Wednesday night service, we usually will have a time where we take prayer requests. And I just want to encourage you to check your emails on a regular basis. We send out prayer chain requests and try to get updates as often as possible. If you do not get the email prayer chain prayer requests, and you would like to, all you got to do is send me an email, send it to my personal address, and we'll make sure that you get those prayer requests. Also, it is time for your music schedule for May through June. And I would say check your mailboxes when you get to church on Sunday, but it's not going to work like that. So what you need to do, I will be emailing those out to you, and you can also check on the website, and we will have that emailed to you, and you'll be all set for, hopefully, we'll be back to church by May. Also, don't forget with the elections. Let me give you the election information one more time. Since our elections in March were postponed, you are able to get an absentee ballot if you contact the Williams County Board of Elections. The address is 1425 East High Street, Suite 104. That's 1425 East High Street, Suite 104 here in Bryan, or you can give them a phone call at 419-636-1854. Those ballots need to be in postmarked by the 27th or dropped in the drop box there at the election board by the 28th of April, 7:30 in the morning. So if you would like to do that, certainly welcome to do that. Before we get into the message this evening, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that is tuning in to this and watching it tonight and going on with our Wednesday services as normal as we possibly can. We pray this evening that as we get into the message, as we finish off a series that we have been in for a little while, we pray that you might speak to our hearts, Lord, and open up our minds, illuminate our understanding this evening, and help us to learn the truths that the Scripture tells us concerning this topic that we'll be dealing with. We pray and ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, open up with me to Psalm 141. Even though you're listening to this at home and you're going to have plenty of time to listen to me read the Scripture and things like that, please take your Bibles wherever you're at, open them up to Psalm 141. As you're getting there tonight, over the last several weeks, we have tried to get through this sermon series, and it's been a little bit of a difficult procedure because we keep getting delayed by different things, and they have interrupted our Wednesday night service. I think we had one Wednesday night, it was bad weather. We had another Wednesday night that we had something else going on. Last Wednesday night was the Passover message in preparation for Easter, and of course, with all this coronavirus thing going on. So tonight, we want to finish this series of messages dealing with a topic that all of us, absolutely all of us, have issues with from time to time, and it's the issue of gossip. For some clarification, in case you've lost track of where we have been at, or maybe you're getting into this for the very first time, let me give you the points over the last 4 weeks or the last four messages that we had on this subject. The very first thing that we looked at was recognizing gossip. How do we know what gossip is? And if we hear something, how would we know to call that gossip? Our simple definition of gossip was bearing bad news behind someone's back and doing that out of a bad heart. Bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. All three elements when it is bad gossip is going to be present. The next thing that we took a look at was resisting gossip. How do we resist it? How do we resist not only telling it, but how do we also resist listening to it? And we got some good practical instruction on that. The next thing was responding to gossip. When somebody gossips about you and it gets back to you, and believe me, it will. How do you respond to that? What's the right way to respond to that? The last message that we looked at was regretting gossip. regretting gossip. Hopefully, when we have gossiped, we regret it. We wish that we hadn't have done it. But we saw in that message that regretting gossip is not the same thing as repenting of gossip. We not only need to regret it, but we need to repent of it. We know individuals that have had the habit of gossiping through the years. And that individual, they gossiped, they felt so bad about it. Boy, I wish I hadn't have said that. I really need to do better. But within maybe a matter of minutes, they were back to gossiping again. They regretted it, but they didn't really repent of it. So that's a message that you need to get. Let me introduce tonight's message with this. On YouTube, and I'm going to try to put this on our website, but on YouTube, there are several videos of an Amish barn raising. One of the videos that I watched was absolutely fantastic. It was somewhere here in Ohio on May the 13th, 2014. The individual that created this video compressed 1,600 pics that were taken over a 10-hour period, and he compressed that into a 3-minute and 30-second video. And it shows in fast motion those 10 hours disappearing as over 30 Amishmen put this barn up in absolutely record time. And this thing had multiple levels. And when they are done for the day, when they are all leaving, the only thing that is left to complete on this barn is just a small section of siding. Other than that, all that was left was to bring the horses in, and they would have been all ready for it. What's the point of that story for the gossip message tonight? Well, tonight's message is entitled, Raising a Gossip-Proof Church. Raising a Gossip-Proof Church. Like the Amish, we need to raise a gossip-proof church very, very quickly. It is not something that we can take days and weeks and months to do. It is something that needs to be done quickly. It needs to be done immediately, preferably, if you will, in a day or less. It is going to be something that takes a group effort. All hands on deck. Everybody's got to be involved in this. We cannot quit until the job is finished. And even though it may look like the job is finished, there is always work to be done. Because just like with any building, including our church building here, even though it is built and it is finished, it still needs to be maintained. And so if we are going to raise a gossip-proof church, we need to do it quickly, we need to all be involved in it, and then we need to be involved in maintaining that. Now, don't panic when I tell you this tonight, but I'm going to give you 10 ways in which we can do that. I know you're hearing the number 10 and you're going, oh my, I'm going to split this up into two nights of messages. You're not going to have to do that. I am watching my clock very carefully on this, all right? So here's the 10 steps tonight. Psalm 141 in the first three verses. It says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. The very first thing that we need to do to raise a gossip-proof church is we need to pray hard. We need to pray hard. On that video, if you're able to get this, and I'm able to get it loaded up for you, when the Amish came to do this barn raising, the foundation was already laid for this barn. They also had the cinder block retaining walls. Those were already built. So all they had to do was build on the foundation that had already been laid. As believers in Christ, we ought to build upon the foundation of prayer. If we are going to raise a gossip-proof church, and we're already dealing with Christians, the Christian's foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. But if we are raising a gossip-proof church, we begin that endeavor on the foundation of prayer. In fact, no endeavor should ever be taken until we have soaked and saturated it in prayer. And the entire time that we're building, we need to pray. D.L. Moody used to say this. He said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. As I was watching that video of that barn raising, when those Amish guys were up three stories and they were laying the rafters and the purlins and the metal roof, I would imagine there was a lot of praying as they were way up high there in the sky. You don't stop praying just because certain sections are done. You keep praying and you pray hard. That's number one. Number two, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, and look with me at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the second thing, we need to set a godly example. Set a godly example. 1 Timothy 4, 12, the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Set a godly example. Example. Within the church, there are two kinds of people. This is true of any church. Wherever you go, there will always be two kinds of people. Yes, there will be saved and there will be lost. But I'm talking among the Christians, there will always be two kinds of people. There will be those who are the problem, and there will be those who are the solution to the problem. There will be the problems and the solutions to the problems. Maybe you say tonight, you say, "Well, I'm really neither one. I just keep to myself. I mind my own business." I'm reminded of the saying from a fellow by the name of Edmund Burke. And he said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." I know that as you're watching this, you would say, "I agree. Gossip is evil, and you hate gossip. I know that you believe that. I know that you're saying that." But I ask you, what are you doing to make sure that gossip does not come into your life personally and into the life of your church? What are you doing to shut that down? I'm not doing anything. Then you're part of the problem. You're a part of the problem. You've got to be a part of the solution. And that's what this entire message is about. That's what these 10 points are all about us being a part of that solution. We need to create walls that are so high that the gossip just cannot get over it. We need to set the example in our own personal life. And maybe tonight needs to be a night where we would set aside some time after this message and just examine some of our past conversations, our recent past conversations that we've had with others, and ask ourselves, am I gossiping? Am I saying things that should not be said? If so, acknowledge that's a problem, and then determine, I'm going to set a good example. I am going to be a part of that solution. Set a good example. The third thing that we need to do is to teach against the sin of gossiping. Go with me to the book of Titus. Just skip over to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Titus chapter 2. We need to teach against the sin of gossiping. Right here, before we even read the scripture, some of you are thinking, that's right. That is the pastor's job, to teach against gossiping. And while we're at it, let's get the Sunday school teachers on board. Let's have them teach against gossiping. And I agree, that is something that we should be doing. But in Titus chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Before we read that, teachers of good things, that part of the verse would have gone back to the previous point, setting a godly example. But then, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Teaching against the sin of gossiping. This is something that falls in the lap of every single one of us. While I 100% agree and believe that God has called certain individuals to teach, like I'm doing, or to teach in a classroom situation, God has called individuals and gifted individuals in that capacity, God has still called every person to teach somebody. As you're watching this, as you're listening to this, you are going to be older than somebody. You may not be the oldest, but you are older than somebody. When you stop and you think about the kids that we've got back there in the back room, and go back to the youngest, let's go to the kids that are in the nursery and in the toddler side. Who is older than them? The answer is pretty much everybody. So that means everybody is older than them. Everybody has the opportunity to teach them. And as we get older, there's always somebody older than us. And if there's nobody older than you, you're old. Then you've got a job to do, don't you? If there is nobody older than you, that puts you at the top of the teaching ladder, if you will. And you've got a great job to do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, let me just read this reference to you. It says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." The writer of Hebrews is talking collectively to believers that as we grow, as we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to become teachers, not necessarily teaching a class, not necessarily standing and preaching and teaching in a church service like this, but you're going to be teaching somebody. One of the things that we need to be teaching is against gossip. That's the third thing. The fourth way that we raise a gossip-proof church is that we encourage good gossip. We encourage good gossip. That sounds like a really strange term. And at the beginning of this series, I suggested that there was something called good gossip versus what we would typically think of as bad gossip. In Matthew Mitchell's book, Resisting Gossip, which has been the catalyst for this series, he writes this. He says, "Our English word gossip comes from the old English word godsib, meaning a god relation, such as a godfather or a godmother. It came to refer to the personal conversations that close family and friends share." Let me give some examples of what this might be, what this might look like. First of all, it might look like small talk. This is where we get to know somebody. It's where two humans are making a connection with each other. As believers in Christ, certainly the small talk that we make should involve the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be about godly things. It should be about things that are honoring and pleasing to the Lord. But it doesn't mean that all of our conversation has to be Bible verses and chapter and verse and all of that. That's not what that means, because all of us live lives. All of us have jobs. We have things that we do. And as we talk back and forth amongst ourselves, that small talk, that godsib, that is good gossip. It is where we are building those interconnected just relationships with each other as we get to know one another. And we talk about the foods that we like to eat, the places we like to go, maybe the places we have visited before. And we share our stories. We share our lives with each other. So that's small talk. That's godsib. Here's another godsib, a good godsib, and that's gathering information. Let's say that we share a prayer request, and that prayer request is shared, whether it be on the prayer chain or it be back in one of the classes or something like that. Could be on our Wednesday night prayer bulletin. And when we share those, we tend to share just very basic information. We compartmentalize it. We get it concise so that it's easy to put down on paper. But afterwards, maybe we have questions about that particular prayer request. So we make a phone call afterwards, or we pull somebody aside privately. We talk to them. We want to know more about what's going on with that prayer request. We aren't doing that out of nosiness. We're not doing it to look for gossip. But for instance, let's say that we find out in church that somebody has gone into the hospital. And not during this pandemic time where nobody can visit, but somebody has gone into the hospital. Now, if I just say, "Pray for sister so-and-so, she has gone into the hospital," and I just leave it at that, do you not think somebody's going to want to know after church what's wrong with them? That is not looking for gossip, or at least it shouldn't be. It is because you want more information. And it maybe isn't something that we want to share in a huge public arena kind of thing, but one-on-one, that would be fine. And then questions would go like this. How long are they going to be in the hospital? When they get out of the hospital, what kind of help are they going to need? Are they going to need meals? Do they feel like a visit? Are they contagious? Things like that. That is not wrong. That is not bad gossip. That would be godsib. Or another way to look at this, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, the third type of good gossip is positive comments. Have you ever walked up on a group of people and they say, "Hey, were your ears burning?" And you go, "No, why?" "Oh, we were just talking about you." And maybe you kind of laugh it off and you say, "Well, I sure hope it was good." And of course it was. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have said, "Hey, we were just talking about you." It was good what was being said. And when stuff like that gets back to you or somebody is talking good about you, it makes you feel good. And that's a good thing. And, you know, when things get back to you that people think highly of you and stuff, it's not that it's something that puffs us up. It's not something that should puff us up. But rather, it does make us feel good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Will good small talk, good gossip, will that minister grace to the hearer? Will it edify? Will gathering information about somebody that was sick or somebody that had a specific need, is that an opportunity to minister grace and to edify? If you are hearing positive things being said about you and you are speaking positive things about somebody else, is that gossip? Is that good gossip? And the answer to that is yes. One of the ways in which we raise a gossip-proof church is to practice good gossip. And I encourage you, you don't have to wait till we get back together in this place and begin to fill these pews. This is something that you can do as you call somebody. You tell them, say, "Oh, I just talked to so-and-so. They're doing great. They are such nice people. They're this, they're that." And really building that individual up, you are edifying that person. That's something we ought to do. Let's turn now to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Just back up one book to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And verses 13 through 15 gives us the fifth way that we raise a gossip-proof church. And it is this: bear, don't bite. Bear, don't bite. In Galatians 5:13, the Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." I like peppermint lifesavers. In fact, I like pretty much anything peppermint. However, I have a problem. Here's my confession. I will share my confession with my head down. I am a cruncher. Yep, you heard it. I'm admitting it. I am a cruncher. I cannot stand to suck on those things for more than maybe just a few seconds, and the next thing you know, crunch, 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 I'm chewing that thing up. It is easier for me to bite than it is to bear. You remember the old Tootsie Pop commercial with where the kids come to the owl and say, "Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?" And he unwraps, he says, "Let's find out. 1, 2, 3, crunch. 3. And that's kind of how I am. And you know, I think that's the way a lot of Christians are within the church family. It is easier to bite than it is to bear with one another. When I say bite, what do I mean? Well, it is easier to criticize other people. It is easier to find fault with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is easier to find something negative to say. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Something could be better. Something should be done. Why haven't we done this? Why haven't we done that? Those single bites over time turn into chewing. And that gets old very, very quickly for anybody. Christian, we have got to be careful about this. So careful. What we might think is an observation or a suggestion can actually be taken as criticism, especially if that's all that tends to come out of our mouths. Observations, suggestions, criticisms. If that's all that comes out of our mouths, it begins to wear down the body of Christ and it begins to just tear people apart. We can't do that. Instead, we have got to be individuals that are more willing to bear with one another, to forbear each other in love, as the Scripture says, rather than biting each other. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, if you will. And the sixth way, hope you're keeping count here, we're on number six. Here's how we build a gossip-proof church, how we raise a gossip-proof church. We handle reputations carefully. We handle reputations carefully. If you've ever gone to some place that has some of this very nice, intricately designed, hand-blown glass figurines, some of those things are so delicate. They've got these fine little pieces of glass, and somebody hands it to you. You're not going to snatch that up like you've grabbed an apple out of a fruit basket. You're not going to grab it like it's a baseball. Rather, you are going to handle it very tenderly, very gingerly. When we utter somebody's name in a conversation, we are handling something that is as fragile as that fine piece of glass. It's their reputation. In Acts chapter 16, the first two verses, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy," or Timotheus, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." You see, the people of Lystra and Iconium had handled very delicately, very carefully, the reputation of Timothy, so that when Paul and Silas come here, they hear the good report of him, and it was good because he had been good gossiped about. His reputation had been handled very, very carefully. Every time that we drop somebody else's name, we are dealing not just with events that they have done, not just with the places they have been. We are dealing with them as an individual and with their reputation. Christians, it is not our job to destroy somebody's reputation. We must handle it very, very carefully in our hands so that when the words exit our mouths, that we have not done some sort of harm or disservice to that brother or sister in Christ. Boy, may we be really careful with that. Raising a gossip-proof church means that we're going to handle reputations very carefully. Now turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we are ready for number 7. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14, the seventh thing that we want to do is watch what we do with dirty laundry. Watch what we do with dirty laundry. If we are going to raise a gossip-proof church, we have to watch what we do with dirty laundry. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. This is in the passage where Nathan has rebuked David because of his sin with Bathsheba, and David has repented. Verse 14, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Do we realize that the reputation of Christianity is not held and esteemed very highly by the world? Do we realize that? And it seems like the world is always looking for some reason to attack the church, to attack Christians, to defame them, to criticize them, to make us look like we are ignorant fools. You know what, Christians? The world doesn't need our help. Let's admit something. There's not a one of us perfect. You tonight are watching someone who is not perfect. And if you were here, I would be watching those who are not perfect as well. Everyone who is watching this and listening to this tonight, you are not perfect either. So there are going to be things that we do that kind of rubs each other wrong and all those kinds of things. We need to keep that in house. We need to keep that between ourselves. I wholly agree that this pandemic has demonstrated how good social media can be and the good uses that it can be put to. I totally agree with that. But that has not always been the case. What has been the case is that individuals vent their complaints, their irritations, their annoyances about things that happen within the church, amongst themselves, with other believers in Christ. Oh, they make it very generic. They make it so that people maybe don't know exactly what's going on, but they know that there's a problem. Listen to me. That is dead wrong. That gives an opportunity for the world to blaspheme the church, for the world to look down its nose on Christians and Christianity, to look down their noses on God, and to discredit First Baptist Church, Bryan, Ohio. Within our church family, there are going to be issues and disagreements. There are going to be things that we deal with and we work through. But I think a couple of old adages have got to become a part of our lives. The first adage is this: what goes on in the home stays in the home. I was brought up with that. You don't go airing your dirty laundry. And that's the second phrase. Don't air your dirty laundry. So we have got to watch what we do with dirty laundry. Here's the eighth thing. We've got 8, 9, and 10 to go here. The eighth one is keep open channels for airing concerns. Keep open channels for airing concerns. I almost hesitate to deal with this one because I don't have the time that I would like to really develop it like it needs to be. But turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. Let me see if I can just kind of in bullet point form give you the basics of this. We have to keep open channels to air concerns. We have to be approachable. Every one of us has got to be approachable. We cannot keep up a wall of resistance and tyranny that says nobody can approach me if something is wrong or if they have concerns or questions. On the other hand, just because you see somebody else's faults does not mean that you need to rush right in and point them out and correct them. Whatever happened to spiritual growth? I don't know, I can't find it anywhere in the Bible where the Lord has called you and I to be the Holy Spirit for somebody else. That doesn't mean that there isn't a time and a place to bring in correction into another believer's life. I don't mean that. But you know, there are some people that could nitpick a person to death. And if that's you, and see, I can say this to a camera because there's nobody here and say, oh, preacher's talking to me. There's nobody here. So I'm just talking into this camera tonight. If you are a nitpicker, if you're somebody and you pick people apart, they couldn't even sneeze right, then my friend, you're the one that's wrong. You're probably a whole lot more wrong than the individual that you think is wrong. And then when a concern is aired, it has got to be aired carefully, biblically, calmly, rationally, and without being a hothead. And if you cannot air your gripe or your concern under those conditions, then you need to just back up, go away, cool off until you can. The person, you got to remember that the person who is approachable is also very vulnerable. Therefore, the person who is airing the concern must air it in such a way that it is correct, it is loving, it is respectful, it's kind, it's gentle, and it's with an attitude of finding common ground and understanding, not a it's my way or else kind of an attitude. The person who has been confronted is naturally going to feel wounded. Look here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Proverbs 18 verse 14, the Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Verse 19, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." The person who has been wounded, that wounded person is going to have a hard time getting over it. But turn with me to Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Proverbs 27 verse 6, and the Bible says here, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you have had to confront somebody, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and I would also say faithful are the wounds of someone friendly. So that means the person that you have confronted has been wounded. So when we have been wounded, we kind of curl up a little bit. And if you have had to do the wounding, you are the friend that had to do the wounding, it is your responsibility, not the wounded's responsibility, it is your responsibility to make sure that the wounded knows how much you love them and you care for them and that you're not angry with them and that you want to still have the great fellowship with them that you had enjoyed, and even better, that is your job. And if you're not willing to do that, and if you're not doing that, then what you've done is all wrong. You've done more to destroy than you have to help. So we need to keep that channel open, but we need to keep it open in the right way. Now, this may seem complete opposite here, but let's go to 3 John. Two more here, real quick. 3 John, verses 9 and 10. 3 John, verses 9 and 10. The ninth thing that we need to do is to call each other out. Call each other out. In 3 John, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. When there are those who are causing strife and division within the church, they are an ongoing, constant problem. The Bible stipulates that those causing the division are to be marked out and that they are to be dealt with, that perhaps church discipline needs to take place. Hopefully, this is in the extreme cases. This would be dealing with the gossip who just won't quit their gossiping. That's where they need to be called out. The final point tonight is this. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. Remember to keep the main thing the main thing. It is the gospel message that makes us family. It is the gospel message that brings others into this family. It brought us together into this place. It is the sharing of the gospel that should be the number one priority within our church as we leave this church. But let me tell you something. The sharing of the gospel will not be our priority if the sharing of the gossip, the bad gossip, is our priority within the church. We've got to keep the gospel message the main thing. If you are listening to this tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when I say the gospel and you say, well, I hear that word, but I don't really know what that word means. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, the Bible says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That, my friend, is the gospel message. Jesus Christ came to this earth to bear your sins, to bear my sins upon himself, to die on Calvary's cross, to shed his blood in the perfect payment of our sins, to be buried in that tomb, and then to on the third day to rise again exactly as he said, with the power over death, hell, and the grave, and the power to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. That is power. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed that the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If you're listening tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me. The gospel message is what you need tonight. It is good gossip to tell you the good news. It is good news that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to save you from your sins. But tonight, lost soul, Jesus Christ will not force himself upon you. Oh no, it is your decision. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not whosoever shall be made to call on the name of the Lord, but whosoever will, you need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you're saying, that's what I want to do tonight, then will you pray something like this after me? But it's something you have to mean from your heart, not because it's a prayer that I'm praying. It has to be what you mean. Heavenly Father, I do believe tonight that Jesus Christ came into this world to bear my sins upon himself at Calvary. I believe that Jesus died for me and because of me. I believe that he was buried in that tomb and that he rose from the grave. And there is no other plan of salvation but Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I repent of all that I have done to try to be right with God. I repent of it, Lord. I turn from it. All it's done has gotten me into trouble. It's gotten me nowhere. But tonight, Lord, I believe the gospel. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is that something you prayed tonight? And if you did, and you honestly, genuinely meant that tonight, would you be willing to call our church? Would you be willing to send us an email? Somehow get in contact with us and let us know that you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. We want to rejoice with you. We want to be able to share some things with you that would help you as you grow in Christ. To those of you listening that know Jesus Christ as Savior, and certainly to our church family, raising and maintaining a gossip-proof church takes every one of us, not a group, every one of us. And I ask tonight, will you be involved in that? Tonight, would you make it your prayer commitment to the Lord that you will ask the Lord on a daily basis to set a watch, to set a guard, to put a lock on your lips? If they start getting out of control and that tongue starts to wagon, that God would instantly drive conviction home to your heart. Would you be willing to pray and ask the Lord to do that tonight? Would you be willing to take these 10 steps that we have seen this evening and apply them to your life? Christian, let me close the service out in prayer with us this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You created us. You created us with a tongue. And Lord, that tongue, it's our choice how we use it. And for those of us who are saved, we ask this evening, Lord, that you would set a watch over our lips, over our tongue. Keep us, Lord, from saying the things that we should not say. Give us the boldness, Lord, to say the things that we should say. Help us, Lord, to speak with grace and have our speech seasoned with salt. And Lord, may we speak the truth in love at all times. Now, Heavenly Father, as we are at the middle of the week, we've got the rest of this week to go. We commit it to your keeping, Lord, looking forward to this Lord's Day and another opportunity to be together, even if it is through the video and through the audio, Lord. We can still be together around the table of your word, and we look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen.